Hello and welcome to the Animal Health Employment Insider, brought to you by The Vet Recruiter. In this podcast, search consultant Stacy Purcell, founder and CEO of The Vet Recruiter, provides insight and practical advice for both companies and job seekers in the animal health industry and veterinary profession. The Vet Recruiter's mission is to help animal health companies and veterinary businesses acquire top talent while helping animal health and veterinary professionals attain career-enhancing opportunities that increase their quality of life. In today's podcast, we'll be talking about the state of the veterinary profession, specifically the job opportunities that are available. Welcome, Stacy, and thank you again for joining us.
Hello, Sharita. I'm glad to be here again today.
Okay, so Stacy, as a recruiter, you work in both the animal health industry and the veterinary profession. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay, so can you talk to us about the differences between the two?
Certainly, I'd be happy to. The animal health industry can be defined as companies who offer products and services that are sold to veterinary practices. These can include pharmaceutical companies, pet food companies, companies that sell capital equipment, for example, diagnostic equipment. Service companies can include companies that sell insurance or wellness plans, for example. Then the veterinary profession is separate from those. The veterinary profession is the veterinary practices themselves, which can be privately or corporately owned. Veterinary profession positions are mainly jobs in veterinary practices. In other words, these are employment opportunities that are with a specific veterinary practice. Animal health jobs, on the other hand, are jobs that are in industry. That means that they are not jobs with a specific veterinary practice, but they are animal health related jobs in the broader employment marketplace. Professionals who work in these jobs don't work in a veterinary practice, but they work for an organization or a company that sells to veterinary practices, like I mentioned before, which can include pet food companies, pharmaceutical companies, or companies in general that sell products or services to veterinarians. These can also include animal health distribution companies.
Okay, so today we're going to focus on the state of the veterinary profession. Is that correct?
Yes, that's right. Today we are going to focus on those professionals who are working within veterinary practice. And that's because there are numerous opportunities that exist within veterinary practice right now. I want to make our podcast listeners aware of those opportunities, and I want to discuss the future of the veterinary profession as well. Ironically enough, I want to start in the future. Specifically, I want to start with a statistic from the Bureau of Labor Statistics. According to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, veterinary job openings are set to increase by almost 18% through 2026. Not only that, but job openings for veterinary technicians are set to increase by 20%.
Wow, those are some eye-opening numbers. Now, Stacy, you work in the trenches day in and day out. Is what you're seeing leading you to believe that these numbers are likely to be correct?
Yes, I can attest to the fact that everything that I am seeing in the employment marketplace supports those statistics and projections for the future. I see evidence of that on an almost daily basis. For example, I have talked with candidates and other recruiters in our office have talked with new graduate veterinarians and veterinarians with 2 years and less of experience who are expecting $100,000 to $130,000 in base compensation.
Okay, wait, they only have 2 years of experience and they're expecting that much?
Yes, but the interesting part is that they're actually receiving job offers in that range, and I even have a specific example for you. We just had a candidate with 2 years of experience receive 3 job offers. One of them included a $130,000 base salary. One had close to 130 base salary. And the third offered a $100,000 base salary with a $130,000 guarantee. This should tell you something about what is happening right now in the veterinary profession, especially within clinical practice. The fact of the matter is that employers cannot find the candidates that they need to hire. There are just not enough candidates with the right skills and experience in the marketplace right now. In fact, it's even reached the point where recent graduates are commanding larger starting salaries.
Really?
Yes, and I have another example to illustrate that. We recently interviewed a brand new graduate, a veterinarian with no experience. The new graduate veterinarian was expecting a base salary of $120,000 for their first job right out of veterinary school. Shortly after speaking with this person, we already had a client who wanted to interview her.
So let me get this straight. This person might earn $120,000 right out of school?
That's right. And it may seem like that's a lot to ask for, but it's really not if market conditions exist that make it possible. When you think about it, it's basically the law of supply and demand. If something is in demand and that something is scarce, then it becomes more valuable. Right now, skilled candidates in the veterinary profession, especially in clinical practice, are in high demand. However, they're scarce, which makes them more valuable.
So they're so scarce and so valuable that we have some newly graduating veterinarians who are expecting a $120,000 salary right out of school.
Yes, that's exactly right. And some are getting salaries in that range right out of school.
Okay, so Stacy, I'm guessing that everything we're talking about today has to do with the skills gap in the candidates market, which are topics that you've discussed on previous podcasts. Is that correct?
Yes, that is right. And what I want to emphasize is that these conditions are expected to continue for quite some time. According to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, I quoted at the top of the podcast, they could continue for up to 8 more years.
Now, Stacy, we've talked a lot about what employers should be doing in market conditions such as these. But today I understand that you want to address what the candidates should be doing.
Yes, I would like to talk about how job seekers and candidates should view the marketplace and what their outlook should be. First of all, veterinary professionals should recognize the fact that they have leverage in the marketplace right now. This is especially the case for those professionals who have highly specialized skills and unique experience. As you might imagine, leverage is a good thing to have. And as we discussed in our earlier podcast on salary negotiation, when you have leverage, you have the ability to directly influence the final outcome of a situation. In this case, veterinary professionals have the ability to directly influence their employment situation to some degree. Second, veterinary professionals should set a goal of strategically using their leverage. And this is where career planning and development are so important. If you have leverage and you have opportunities and options, then all of that should be a part of the plan that you have for your career. If the Bureau of Labor Statistics expects there to be plenty of opportunities in the veterinary profession for the next 8 years, then you should think about what you want to do during those 8 years and how can you make the most of them. And third, veterinary professionals should not misuse or abuse their leverage.
Okay, what do you mean by that?
Well, it's a good thing to have leverage in a situation. Sometimes people fall prey to the temptation to use that leverage in ways that they should not. If a candidate knows that they have leverage and there's a shortage of people who have the skills and experience that they possess in the marketplace, they might be tempted to do things that they should not do.
Okay, things like what? Could you give us some examples?
Yes, I certainly can. These things include being late to a face-to-face interview, for example, or not showing up for a face-to-face interview and saying that you will give an answer regarding an employer's job offer within a specific period of time and then just completely disappearing.
Candidates actually do that?
They do. It's called ghosting on the offer. Candidates even will accept an offer of employment and then not show up for their first day of work or any day after that. I once had to call a candidate's father to check on her whereabouts because I thought she had been in an accident. Not only did she not show up for her first day of work, but she also did not respond to any of my texts, emails, or phone calls. I was glad she was okay, but obviously my client was not pleased. While there are plenty of opportunities in the veterinary profession right now, it is not a huge industry, and a lot of people, including hiring managers and company officials, know each other. So when you abuse the leverage that you have as a candidate, you can run the risk of branding yourself in a negative fashion and burning bridges. And you never know when burning a bridge can have dire consequences down the road.
Absolutely. Now, what else should job seekers and candidates be doing?
They need to make sure that they are aware of the opportunities that exist, and they need to make sure that they're in a position to take advantage of some of these opportunities.
And how can they best go about doing that?
Well, there are two main ways. They can do it themselves, or they can align themselves with an experienced recruiter. Now, I'm not saying that a candidate can't do it themselves, but sometimes it's more difficult to do it effectively that way. One of the reasons is that no matter what kind of leverage a candidate might have, they can't apply for a job if they don't know that the job exists. And sometimes an organization will look for candidates in a confidential fashion, maybe if they're expanding and they don't want their competition to know what they're doing, or sometimes they might have a need to replace an underperforming employee and they don't want to advertise a position, or simply they just don't have time to conduct their own job search.
And they would often hire a recruiter to conduct a search like that.
Yes, that's right. And that's why that I recommend working with the recruiter to maximize the opportunities that exist in the marketplace. And of course, I also recommend being open to opportunity when opportunities are presented to you. I can't tell you how many candidates I talk with who dismiss an opportunity before they even know what it is. And that kind of outlook is counterproductive at best, and it's not good for one's career.
Yes, if there's so much opportunity in the veterinary profession these days, it almost seems crazy, you know, to not want to at least hear about what's out there.
That's exactly right. This is an exciting time to be in the veterinary profession, and veterinary professionals should recognize that and position themselves to take full advantage of it now and in the years to come.
Okay, well, Stacy, thank you once again for all of this really wonderful information today.
Thank you, Sharita. I look forward to our next podcast.